automatic NFL coaches. And I was happy to see the Bears coach not be that way yesterday with his offense. To see Matt Nagy, I got excited, Dan. Like, as a football person, I got excited when I saw a triple tight end set out of the Bears yesterday. Who are these guys? They're running the ball for $150? Let's get after it.
Yeah, it says that maybe he's come along a little bit. Hub speculates that whatever you see in Kansas City is going to be reflected here. And when he sees that Clyde Edwards-Helaire doing the stuff that he does and them just sort of, you know, putting the offense on his shoulders in a way that perhaps some didn't expect, then maybe that rubs off on Matt Nagy. But you do what you have to do to win that game, and you coach the game that's in front of you at that time. But you're absolutely right about, because I think zone defense against Mitchell Trubisky does two things. One, it forces him to figure out what he's seeing and takes that time for him to not just sort of draw plays in the dirt or throw it to a guy to make a play. It forces him to think, and it keeps all eyes on him as far as scrambling goes. So I just think that if you're a game planner, you don't have to be advanced at football to understand that that is intelligent strategy against the Bears.
No, and that's what if we were doing the show at our sister station in Detroit, I know that they're talking about it because it was brought up a lot in the press conferences last week where they were asking, like, why does he have success against you guys and not really have the same type of success against other people? And it's because of what you're talking about, Dan. Anthony Miller, good man beater. Allen Robinson, his catching radius, and you saw it on display yesterday. If you're gonna give that guy an opportunity to go one-on-one with a defender, you're gonna lose. By the end of the game, once they got their timing together, Jimmy Graham is still in a place where if you're not asking him to just sit in a zone and you are saying, okay, in the red zone, can you go man up? He can still win those battles one-on-one in the red zone. It's perplexing to me to see it, but I'm happy for the Bears. And as soon as I saw that they were going to stay in it, I knew that they had a chance. Like, to me, the key moment was the third down stop that forced the field goal. If Detroit scores a touchdown there, that's the end. The game's going to be over, and we're having a very different conversation today. We're talking about Nick Foles getting the start against the Giants. But if they left it at 17, there was still enough time for a coach to get pantsed, and Matt Patricia allowed himself to get pantsed. It was glorious to see it. It was a lot of fun, and then you go from that to, oh, wait, so Alec Mills is actually going to make it out of the sixth inning, and he's going to make it out of the seventh inning. He's never gone this deep in a game before. Like, can they pull this off after that incredible win that the Cubs had on Saturday night? It was insane. And then you look up and like, oh, also, the White Sox have the best record in the American League after they basically got a bullpen start and were able to club their way to a win yesterday on the South Side. It was a really glorious day of Chicago sports viewing and interaction that I enjoyed tremendously.
You're forgetting something really important, and I'm glad a texter pointed this out. Don't forget the best Chicago sports news that we wake up to every day. Jim Boylan is still fired. That no matter what else happens, and all the wonderful things that you talk about, that we can continue. We never should lose sight of that. That is, I mean, really, it keeps us grounded. It keeps us sane in these insane times where everything is on fire and the world is sick. We can still have the fact that Jim Boylan is still fired.
Well, I mean, I'm not here to dance on that man's grave. The Bulls have moved on, and so have I. But it's really interesting to have this confluence of sports where the baseball games at this point really matter. And it's hard because I've been in baseball mode since they started up, and I'm enjoying watching what I am seeing from the White Sox. And I got to tell you, like, this week, White Sox fans become Cub fans because the Cubs have Cleveland and Minnesota this week. And the way I figure it, if the White Sox take care of business against Minnesota in the four-game set that they have, and then the Cubs help the White Sox out, next week when the two teams meet, there's not as much stress on anybody. We can all just have a good time watching great Chicago baseball. So I'm proposing that for the next week, Cubs fans and White Sox fans, we're like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator. Like we're him and Carl. We got the hand out. We got the bicep flex. We're shaking up. We're dapping up and saying we're on each other's side for this week. And then let's settle it in late October.
Get to the chopper. That's where we're headed now. This is going to be. We're in the final 2 week stretch for these teams now. Just 2 weeks left in this season, and there is budgeting our time now. With everything that's going on,
yep.
with the NBA playoffs, maybe you're still watching NHL. There's two football games tonight. This becomes a tap dance now to figure out how to get our screen set so we can consume all of these sports. Not to mention what is happening in all the other sports too. With the U.S. Open, I mean, come on,
right?
I mean, this is phenomenal right now.
It is. It's totally phenomenal, and I'm looking forward to talking a lot about all of it. Lynn Casper is going to join me at 12:40. We're going to talk with him about the no-hitter. By the way, your interview with Alec Mills was top-notch. There was
Thank you.
Lot of great stuff inside that interview, and there's a couple things that I'm going to bring back, and Herbie and I have already put a little bit of production together for that. I get Anthony Herron on Mondays, and I cannot wait for his breakdown of what we saw from the Bears in that game. So, Dan, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Happy Bears Victory Monday. I'll be listening.
Everyone's got the victory chicken out, that's for sure, because the Bears did win and the Cubs had a no-hitter and the White Sox are the best team in the American League. This hour is being brought to you by Four Winds Casino. Herbie, let's get to work.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
You call it the Barry Horowitz move? I've been trying to tell people for months that Mitch Trubisky was going to be the week one starter. I don't care which quarterback they brought in. I don't care what Ryan Pace gave up. I don't care which coaches they brought in. One more try for my guy. One final skate for Mitchell Trubisky. And that's what we're going to get in Bears Lions. I hear people say, oh, okay, so we'll see what Trubisky does for a month or 6 weeks, like Mariota and Tannehill with Tennessee. Uh-uh. Matt Nagy doesn't want him playing Sunday, okay? This thing is not going on for a month or 6 weeks if there are any struggles. And there are just too many things building up here, Lawrence. First off, of course, you have Trubisky's success against the Lions. So the schedule makers really helped Ryan Pace as far as that goes.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
The success that Mitchell has had against the Lions rear its beautiful head. Oh my God. Give half a win to Matt Patricia. Oh, I cannot wait to just stomp on that dude. If you're a listener to this show, you got to understand. I was in the basement yesterday laughing my ass off. It's nice to be right.
You're in the basement with Tigger?
No. Was he here? Is he doing something else?
No, Rap City, the basement.
Oh, that's right. He did. Was it him or Chris that had the basement, though?
Tigger. Big Tigger.
What was Chris's last name?
The mayor of Rap City, Chris Thomas?
Chris Thomas, yes. I thought he was in the basement, but you're right. I think it was Big Tigger that was in the basement back in the day. I was down here laughing my ass off because you see it. And I'm like, I know this dude is not playing man across. I know that he's not out here with a single high safety. And Anthony Miller's one-on-one on the outside. Allen Robinson's one. They could have done a number of things. Like, you could have done cover two man if you wanted. Two high safeties with man coverage underneath. You could have done that. Put your safeties on the hash mark. Nope. We're going to play this man defense and got their asses busted. Had control of the game until about 9 minutes left in the game. And then Mitch was like, oh, they're doing that thing again. That thing where They're going to match up against our wide receivers. Cool. Let's have some fun. I can now play this game the way that I like to play it, free and easy. Earlier in the game, when they were using more zone concepts, here's what was going on with Mitch. You saw, and Herbie, we better get Dude and him ready. All week last week, what did we hear Mitch talk about? We heard Mitch talk about his footwork. And man, for most of that game, his footwork was trash. It was bad. He was throwing off time. He was throwing off platform. He wasn't sticking his feet in the ground and throwing the ball down the field. None of that stuff. It was horrible. But then at the end, it was good enough. He made great throws, and Allen Robinson and Anthony Miller made some tremendous catches for the Bears to be able to win that game. The Bears defense that didn't – I felt like the Bears defense looked a little bit off. I thought the linebackers looked slow and indecisive. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen Danny Trevathan look as slow as he looked for most of that game. But when they needed it, with 10 minutes left, you get a big stop on third down. You force a field goal. You end up with just a 17-point deficit. And then Patricia helps you out again. Don't punt the ball away. Let's try to make this a 20-point lead with a 53-yard field goal. Congratulations. Now you're giving the Bears excellent field position for them to do what they need to do. But Mitch's footwork was horrible. I feel like celebrating. Just can I get like 20 seconds of it, Herbie? Just celebrating. So I was watching Mitch's feet, and it was horrible early. But at the end, it was totally fine. It's amazing that we went from getting – I know that I was getting ready. You know what was crazy? I was going to send out a tweet saying you can't start him next week. And for some reason, the tweet didn't go out. So I'm happy that the tweet didn't go out, because he got the looks that he wanted, and he balled out, which you – his numbers, if I told you his numbers with 9 minutes left to go, what his numbers would end up being, you'd be like, that's some BS. There's no way that happens. Mitch finished the game 20 of 36, 242 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a passer rating of 104.2. Do you know how bad this guy was in the first half of the game? You had the guys at Fox saying that he needed to be removed. Bears fans were apoplectic on Twitter, talking about how bad he was. There was no way that he was going to start the next game, and then, boom. Matt Patricia, Lions gonna Lions. And the Bears took advantage of it. Credit them also for running the ball yesterday. And there was a point in the game where in the third quarter, we would have seen Nagy kind of go bombs away. I love that they stayed with the run game. I love that they mixed up the run game. I love that they mixed up formations. Seeing Komet and Sims and Graham out there in a triple tight end set, that's exciting. When you're showing them different looks and you're making them adjust to what it is you do. Things didn't work out perfectly until they got to the end of the game. But there was some growth that was shown by the head coach, and that's appreciated. I don't want to let this segment get away without talking about the other two things that happened, both in baseball. And don't worry, there's going to be plenty of football discussion, I promise you. We're going to laugh at Matt Patricia and talk about the Bears for a big portion of today's show. It was dope. I want to go all the way back to Saturday on the Cubs. I feel like Saturday night was a moment for them. Saturday night where they aren't hitting the entire game, and here's Hader at the end of the game. and you saw some creative managing that went on, taking Anthony Rizzo off the bench, lefty versus lefty, and he has a home run against Hader, and saying, Anthony, can you get on base for us? He gets a hit. Hayward, who's having an unreal year. He's like a 950 OPS guy. He's hitting almost 300 for the Cubs so far this season. He's elevating the ball. He's hitting the ball up and out. Comes through with a home run that felt like a moment.
Hader's pitch on the way to Hayward. Swung on, hit in the air, right center field and deep. Back toward the wall. It's got a chance. That ball is gone for a home run. Jason Hayward, a three-run homer, and the Cubs lead 3-2. Can you believe it?
No. And then they follow it up with another home run. And then you're sitting there going, oh, no. Okay, the Cubs have the lead. Here comes Craig Kimbrel. And Kimbrel's able to shut it down on Saturday night. Saturday night felt like a something. And it wouldn't have felt that way if you have to then go get Kimbrel because he's not being effective. He pitches well. They get out of there with a win. And then you turn around Sunday afternoon, and here's Alec Mills, who doesn't really go deep into games. He had never gotten out of a seventh inning. He's only made 15 starts in his career. And he ends up doing one of the oddest no-hitters that you're going to see. He only had 5 swing and misses in the entire game. That's tied for the least amount of swing and misses in a no-hitter. Like, some of the statistics and some of the weird things about it are crazy. It was almost, 8 years to the date or 12 years to the date when Zambrano pitched a no-hitter up there. Remember that? And by the way, do you remember who was catching the last Cubs no-hitter? Jake Arrieta's no-hitter? It's David Ross. It's not like the whole thing is crazy. So that's going on. While that's going on, the White Sox are over here like, don't forget about us. We're sweeping people. We've won 4 in a row. Our center fielder is probably going to win a gold glove. Eloy Jimenez is clicked on right now with 6 straight games of extra base hits. He's hitting armpit-high fastballs out for home runs. Jose Abreu looks like the MVP of the American League, and the White Sox have the best record in the AL. What an incredible day to be a Chicago sports fan. Really incredible, like a lot, like just fun, just a lot of fun yesterday. And even trying to manage it, trying to go back and forth between watching this game and watching this game. And for me, I was in Bears post. Like, I was in the Zoom with Mitch and Nagy while Alec Mills is finishing things. I thought it was terrific. It's exactly the type of day that sports fans envision in their minds, and we got to live through it, and it was dope. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about the Bears' comeback win. And I know that you all think that I'm crazy about this man defense thing, but I want to share something with you from the quarterback and the head coach. They saw it, they exploited it, and it was great to hear them talk about it in post. We'll do that next here on The Score.
This is Bears Monday.
The Score guys react to the game.
Get analysis from our Bears experts and take your calls. Bears Monday, only on Sport Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute sponsored by Fisher Investments. Clearly different money management. While we were feasting on NFL football yesterday, there was a bonkers NBA comeback, postseason hockey, a no-hitter and home run history in baseball, and a thrilling men's final at the U.S. Open, but you probably didn't notice. Basketball and hockey don't really need to worry about this conflict because barring another pandemic, they probably won't be playing important games in early September ever again. And baseball long ago accepted its fate alongside the NFL. But as a tennis fan, I want a few more eyes on the kind of match Dominic Thiem and Alex Zverev gave us yesterday. But between the tennis calendar and its TV partners, I don't see a way to fix that. You missed Thiem becoming the first man in 71 years to win this title after dropping the first two sets of the finale. Maybe